This is Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek Boys Basketball talking about my friend Lee Kelly. I would always love talking to Lee because he always made you feel special. Whether it was in person or on the radio, he was the consummate pro. And he was very proud. You could tell he was a very proud person of all the work he had done at New Albany, the students he had, the work that he had put in there. And he was also very proud of his alma mater, the Dragons. I think the thing that will always stand out with me for Lee is how much everyone loved him. His co-workers, all the coaches in the area, his former students, everyone loved Lee. And he is definitely getting a well done from the man upstairs.
And a tribute from Silver Creek coach Brandon Hoffman as we begin our Thursday edition of the program. You'll be hearing tributes throughout today's show for the great Lee Kelly, who we lost on Monday. And these tributes will continue to air today, tomorrow, and into early next week. We've got about 15 different tributes, some sports figures, some figures from New Albany High School, and others that knew and worked with Lee Kelly that we'll be sharing with you, and we'll have a compilation of all those tributes forthcoming once they are all completed. But glad to have you with us today. We move into a Thursday edition of the program, and there's a lot to get to. NCAA announcing yesterday that the extension of the recruiting dead period is now official. We thought this was coming through the end of July 31st, which effectively ends college recruiting, college events, or I should say exposure events through the month of July, which kind of officially puts the cap on no shoe circuit, no AAU stuff, nothing where the players are going to get exposure in front of college coaches in July. So that's a bit of a buzzkill. Some were holding hope that there would be perhaps the opportunity for that. But when the NCAA recently canceled their very own college basketball or college academy clinics and camps that month, you kind of saw the writing on the wall that the period would be extended and that basically travel basketball, at least with coaches there, would be out for the month of July. Now the attention with that turns to what happens in the fall. Is there new periods that are created temporarily in August or in September, if it's possible for these type of events to take place for the players to get exposure to play in front of college coaches? And, of course, this would be a very busy time as far as the recruiting world goes. Coaches would have been out in the spring for a couple weekends watching players. AAU basketball would be ramped up in full swing at this point coming out of the Memorial Day weekend. We'd be getting ready for high school basketball summer leagues in the month of June. And then, of course, the last few years there's been a period in the month of June when college coaches, D1 coaches, can get out and even watch the high school teams. That clearly is not happening this year. The month of July has now been shut down. So effectively, grassroots basketball, prep basketball, whatever you want to call it, we're basically done in many ways through at least the end of July. We'll see what happens moving forward. But it's a big miss for a lot of players, 2021 players. I kind of reset the recruiting class as things stand and opportunities in that class for Indiana yesterday. It really, for many in that class, whether they're trying to play at a high level like the Big Ten Conference or whether they're just trying to get and prove that they can play any level of D1, D2 college basketball, it's a big hit for them to not get these exposure opportunities. As we've explained, you walk into one of these facilities, it's never just one game. It's four courts, six courts, eight courts, often in one building. And it's wall-to-wall with teams and parents. And, of course, during the live periods, college coaches from the D1 level all the way down to the very smallest levels that are out there. So, obviously, big, big opportunities to be seen have been missed. We try to keep health at the forefront right now. But it is going to be an odd summer, as it's been an odd spring without spring sports and without the NCAA tournament, without college baseball, college softball. The summer may not be as odd if we get some professional sports back, but from a college basketball perspective, from so much of what we talk about and follow on this program from an IU perspective every day, it's going to continue to be different because you're not going to hear about coaches being out on the road. You're not going to learn about a lot of new scholarship offers, maybe prioritizing players that you can kind of tell how that's going in the summer months. Won't have that read, at least from that perspective, this year, so definitely a different time. Let's jump into the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one coming up here in a few moments. We'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll take a look at the recruiting period being extended through the month of July. Also, some interesting news yesterday out of Bloomington in President McRobbie's office. IU's put out a calendar for the fall semester in 2020 and, of course, the spring semester, which would be in 2021. And it looks a lot different than the traditional calendar. I think we all expected it would, but we'll tell you about this calendar and we'll talk about how it could affect or make for some weird sports environments. Not that we're already prepared for weird environments without fans and with social distancing, but we'll take a look at IU's academic calendar and compare it to the athletics calendar coming up here in just a few moments. Also, an NBA draft note on 2021, a year from now basically, has a couple IU players already mentioned in the draft. Obviously, we can guess one of them, but we'll tell you both of them coming up here in our headline segment brought to you by Zaxby's. Later in the program, segment two, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. He joins. We always talk IU basketball. There's plenty to get to from an IU perspective right now. Also with Alex, we'll talk a little bit more about the great Lee Kelly, who we lost on Monday. Alex, a student of Mr. Kelly's at WNAS at New Albany High School, and was with me, it has been with me every Thursday really since this show began, and this is the day that Lee Kelly would be in studio with us if we weren't until really the COVID outbreak. He had been in almost every Thursday for years, and so Alex and I would get the chance on the radio each week to catch up, and so we'll get his memories of Lee Kelly, who we already miss so very much, coming up here in the program today. Then later in the show, Silver Creek coach Brandon Hoffman, he drops in for an off-season update. Of course, we'll talk about Trey Kaufman. We had Trey on maybe a week or so ago on this program. Get a little update on him, but we'll talk with Coach Hoffman about what it's been like this spring and summer to really not have any sort of contact in person with his team. It's been different for all coaches and all sports, and that's going to continue because, as I mentioned just earlier at the start of the show, Coach Hoffman, like all high school coaches in the area, would be gearing up for a hectic month of June basketball, off-season basketball and practices, scrimmage games as well, to kind of get ready, get an early start for next year. But that will not happen given the pandemic that we are currently in. So Brandon Hoffman, a little later in the program today, we look forward to catching up with him. And that is the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Stop by Honey Baked Ham right now. If you buy a bone-in ham, any size, it's 50% off the sticker price. It's a tremendous deal right now at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. 50% off the price of any sized bone-in ham at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. I do want to remind you that love to hear from you, love to get your feedback. Follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. Love to get your questions, your comments for our guests. We'll share them on the air. You can also follow us on Facebook. Search the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can leave a message there. You can also get links to podcasts. You can get updates about the show and much more. So make sure you follow us on both Twitter and Facebook. Let's get into our headlines today. I basically have covered the extension of the dead period for recruiting through July 31st. That was continued yesterday. The NCAA, in that same release when they announced the extension of the recruiting dead period, did review that virtual physical activities obviously can continue on, virtual workouts and things like that. And then obviously on-campus voluntary workouts can begin, according to the NCAA, as early as June 1st, but you've got conference rules, and of course each school has some different parameters before they are willing to bring athletes from men's basketball, women's basketball, and football back on campus. So each school, it's going to be a little different. I guess a school could say, no, our campus is closed, we feel it's unsafe, and that probably will happen in some form or fashion. But Indiana, many of the Big Ten schools that I've been able to find their plans, sometime first, second week, a lot of second week of June is what many schools have been going with, are going to allow these workouts. And the NCAA has been clear It is voluntary, obviously, number one, and it is with the strength and conditioning coach. It says they will be allowed to observe the workouts and discuss items related to voluntary workouts, but not direct or conduct the workouts. So you're not going to get a real programmed workout from, say, Cliff Marshall. I'm assuming from an IU basketball standpoint, he'll be the one that at least observes those workouts to make sure they're safe, to make sure no one is hurting themselves. But I don't expect that you're going to see Archie Miller, assistant coaches in there for encouragement. And it doesn't sound like any of the June voluntary workouts will allow for basketball work. You know, normally in June you get pictures within the same day. The IU team is in the sand pit. They're running. They're doing this. They're doing that in the weight room. And then maybe that night they go play, or maybe there's a picture of them going through drills in Cook Hall. It's not going to be that way, it doesn't appear, based on the rules that have been put out for this voluntary workout period in the month of June. As far as IU's calendar academically, lots of interest in what schools across the country are doing. Obviously, the number one interest in what schools are doing from a sports standpoint is for college football, which is the next big season, the huge moneymaker that's on tap next in college sports. And Indiana released a calendar. And of course, this can all be updated, be changed. They were very clear with that, depending on what COVID-19 looks like as we move forward. But a very interesting schedule from Indiana. I think I saw Pat Forty tweet yesterday from Sports Illustrated that the downtime between in-person classes from the fall semester to the spring semester is the largest gap that Pat has seen. And he wrote a big column on what college sports look like without other students on campus and maybe kind of the bad look that that gives college athletics. But here's what it's going to be, according to a release yesterday from IU. The fall semester would run August 24th through December 20th. So that's not a big change. But the difference is that classes, in-person classes, will end on November 20th. So classes between August 24th and November 20th, they can meet in person or they can be virtual online meetings. And the reason for that is getting students out before Thanksgiving gives them the opportunity to go home, not have to come back between the Thanksgiving and Christmas break, perhaps, you know, transmit disease from school to home, but more likely from home to school. That's obviously one big concern. There also is no fall break in the fall semester either. And then from that point forward, from November 20th on, the classes must be online. So you got to imagine that finals, lots of testing, things like that, will all be online at that point if the class continues beyond November 20th. The spring semester would not begin until January 19th, which is pretty normal, and it would continue through May 9th. But classes can only meet online January 19th through February 7th. So it's kind of a reverse thing where the classes are going to start online in the spring. And effectively what that does, that will keep many, many students away from Bloomington from November 20th through February 7th. That's a huge gap for no students on campus. And so can you imagine if there are fans in college basketball, even college football games, can you imagine that long window of no student section at the IU games? And of course, the immediate reaction is, oh my gosh, what would that look like? That would be terrible. That's a big part of basketball and sports. But then you think about, what if there was no gap off, and what would it look like with a student section if there's no vaccine? Would students be spread out every 6 feet? That obviously would not be your loud, proud, traditional student section either. So I think no matter what we think, we're going to have to get used to some big changes in things that we love in sports until a vaccine is out and available for all to take. But obviously a big gap. Students will go home on or after November 20th. They will not return to Bloomington for classes based on this schedule until February 7th. So a much different schedule as far as when you're going to be on campus next year in Bloomington. very, very interesting to see how sports work with some of these modified schedules that schools are going to. Very understandably so, why they're going to this schedule, you get a potential spike. There are some think that late into the fall, early into the winter, there could be a spike like there is with flu and other viruses. You get the transmission from home back to school, which can spread. Probably a good idea to keep those at home if there is no vaccine, if there is nothing figured out for this at that point. But it's going to look very, very different when it comes to crowds in college sports. And again, that's even if crowds are allowed at college basketball. We have no idea what college football is going to look like, and definitely no idea what college basketball will look like. But if crowds are allowed, you would have to believe they would be sparse. They would be, some people would not want to go. Those that did would have to social distance, and it would be completely different. So as I say with all this around COVID-19 and sports, going to be very, very interesting to see how it all plays out. One other note in our headline segment, Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated, he put out a draft board already for the 2021 draft. And normally, you know, the draft would be coming up very soon and we'd be starting to think about next year and the top players in college and beyond, what maybe what the draft could look like for next year in 2021. It just seems very odd to talk about it or write about it right now, given the we don't even know exactly how the draft this year is going to work. But two Indiana players on this very early draft board for next year. I don't think there's any surprise to you that anyone listening today that Trace Jackson Davis is one of those players of the two IU players. He's at number 29 on Jeremy Wu's draft board. Probably another the bigger surprise is that Christian Lander, he's not only on Jeremy Wu's draft board for 2021. Again, don't freak out. We're not talking about this June for this draft, which is going to be kicked back some. But this is 2021, so just over a year from now. Christian Lander's at number 17 on Jeremy Wu's projections for the NBA draft. I tell you what, Lander nationally, I like him as a player. I've seen him have some really, really good performances. Seems to have seen more really good stuff in the summer from him. When he played some of the local high school teams, he was kind of nonchalant, but had a lot of points and did okay, but it just maybe wasn't a great game or he didn't seem to be into it as much. But obviously Lander has a big, is very well thought of, a big reputation on the national level. I mean, he's obviously, when committed to Indiana, that was a big deal. When he reclassified to Indiana's 2020 class, that seemed to give Indiana's program for next season a real push as far as national polls and media go. And then even in the NBA draft, he's projected in the first one out that I've seen for 2021 to be number 17, which is a pretty solid pick. Outside of the lottery, obviously, but a pretty solid spot for him, for a guy that has not yet played a college game and for a guy that is a year younger jumping up into college as a freshman this year. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines. Our headlines each day brought to you by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Make sure to go by, check them out for that great chicken at Zaxby's and many other items on the menu. And we'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will talk IU basketball and more. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
This is Joe Glover, Director of Athletics at IU Southeast and a New Albany High School alum who was a student sports broadcaster on WNAS. Mr. Kelly was more than just a teacher of radio and television. He was a teacher of life, and he went out of his way every day to make sure that you knew that he cared about you and your success. Some of my favorite memories were broadcasting Bulldog basketball and football games with him on Friday and Saturday nights during my time at New Albany. I learned so much from him, and he truly was the best mentor I've ever had. We remained close all these years later, and I still got to enjoy an occasional radio appearance with him right here on WXVW. I'll cherish those memories forever. He may be gone, but his legendary voice remains ever strong and as articulate as ever in our memories. His legacy will continue to live in his former students and the generations of sports broadcasters he trained. Rest in peace, my friend. We love you, and we will miss you.
Thank you. Hi, this is Zach McCrite, and I want to add my condolences to the Kelly family on the passing of Lee. It's still weird to call him Lee. He just commanded so much respect, even though he was softer spoken. And I just was so jealous of not being a New Albany Bulldog for my high school career for one reason, and that was because I didn't get to work under Mr. Kelly in the WNAS radio TV department. He made that a larger in life thing for somebody who wanted to be in media like myself. But I'm so glad that we got to call games together, including the Romeo Run. And I know it was important to him, the Silver Creek High School basketball state championship run last year. And he was my first little league coach. So we go back a long way, and I'm going to miss him dearly. Rest in peace, Mr. Kelly. Condolences to the Kelly family. And what gives me solace is he gets to see his son again.
And we're back on this Thursday program. The tributes continue for Mr. Lee Kelly. And joining me now is another former student of Lee Kelly at WNAS in New Albany, who went on to have a tremendous career in media, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, who is with us each Thursday on this show as we talk IU basketball and more. And Alex, we'll get to some basketball and some IU stuff here in a few moments, but been a tough week, and you will have a tribute from both you and your father, Rick Bozich of WDRB, coming up here later in the week. But Mr. Kelly, quite a man, quite a mentor, and you and I had the unique opportunity long after we were students together. In fact, Alex and I broadcasted New Albany games together in high school on WNAS. We had the chance for most Thursdays to join Lee on this very program as we would talk some IU basketball each week.
Yeah, Matt, I mean, I could probably fill the rest of your show just talking about all the experiences and all the different things that over the years that I had a chance to do with Lee. I mean, you mentioned I was a student of his at WNAS, but I mean, going back to when I was first playing Little League, I mean, one of my best friends growing up was his son, Josh, who obviously unfortunately passed away many years ago. And but Mr. Kelly, I mean, some of my earliest memories of being a kid, I mean, he was involved with. I mean, he was always out at the old Little League Park driving the tractor when we would drive past there. We'd stop and talk to him. I mean, he coached me in All-Stars several years in Little League. And at that time, I mean, I kind of knew what he did at WNAS just from going over to their house and being around Josh and stuff. And it was something I always wanted to be a part of. And I didn't necessarily want to be a broadcaster, but going to New Albany High School, leaving there from Hazelwood, I remember one of the things I was looking forward to the most was just the chance to be a part of the radio and TV program, because it was something unique at New Albany that no other schools really had the chance to do that. And Mr. Kelly was the reason that it existed and why it was there. And it was just an incredible experience to get to learn from him. And, you know, I think he was always great to me. I think he was, you know, just fantastic to everybody, but we had a special relationship just because I knew him going back to when I was a kid, and he was always somebody that was willing to help in any way he could. And then it was rewarding later in life when I kind of got to, you know, to the point where, Matt, where you had me on your show every week, and I would always look forward to when Douglas would call me every Thursday and say, hey, you ready to go on with Matt and Lee? And I was like, you know, it kind of popped. It made me perk up a little bit just knowing that I was going to have a chance to talk to him, because he was just someone that I respected so much. I mean, he worked so hard for such a long period of time, and he could have gone on and done other things in broadcasting. I'm sure of that. He could have, you know, not stayed at New Albany. He could have, you know, probably gone on and made more money and things like that. But he cared about kids. He cared about the community. He cared about sports in Southern Indiana so much that it was pretty selfless of him to do that for so many years and make such an impact on so many lives. I mean, you could probably go back, you know, all the years that he worked at WNAS and find hundreds and hundreds of kids who would say the same great things about him. And I think that's just a testament to who he was as a man. And it's very tough just to hear he's no longer be with us, but you know, I'm going to remember all the great memories that I've had with him, and I'm sure the same as you will, Matt. And you know, you mentioned that season. I think it was the 1999-2000 basketball season where you were, I think, a sophomore at New Albany, and I was a senior. I was done playing basketball at that point, but we got to call all the games with him, and what a fun experience that was, just getting to travel around to different venues and calling games at the doghouse. It was something I'll never forget. So, I mean, I'm still in shock that he's gone, but I mean, I think the best thing you can say about him is that he cared about other people so much. He was just a selfless person that always wanted to help, and I'll never forget his voice and just seeing him smile and things like that. It was just he definitely helped shape me at New Albany High School, and I'll never forget him for that, and I'll miss him dearly.
Absolutely, Alex Bozich inside the hall. I do want to bring up one other quick Lee Kelly moment that you were involved with before we get to some IU stuff today in this segment. But when Romeo Lang, obviously Lee was just, as we all were at New Albany, infatuated with not only Romeo and his talent on the court, but the interest that he brought to the program statewide and sometimes even beyond, because we're so proud of New Albany, and obviously as a 40-year teacher there, he was extraordinarily proud of the school. But that day that Romeo committed, I'll never, from a perspective with Lee and just in radio in general, I'll never forget the day. Obviously, it ended with him choosing Indiana, which made a lot of people happy here in this area and across the state. But that day, I remember calling Lee a week or two ahead of time. We knew that day we wanted to do something special, some extra coverage. We knew we wanted to try to set it up where we could broadcast Romeo's decision live on the radio. But as Lee and I started talking, we said, you know, maybe we ought to do a couple hours of the Hoosier Report that day to kind of get everybody ready, and then maybe we'll do an hour pregame show from the high school that evening and then cover his announcement. And as we talked, as I got more excited and Lee got more excited about covering this thing and we realized how big it was going to be, it ended up, let's come on the air at 9 o'clock in the morning and have his family on and have media on and have people like Alex Bozich on. And we basically were on the air here at the studio interviewing key people in IU basketball and recruiting and that knew Romeo for, I think, a 3 or 4 hour period, and just had so much fun. And the listenership that day, the online streaming numbers, it just would keep knocking us off. It was so high. Then that afternoon, we quickly broke the equipment down, went to New Albany High School. We set up on the catwalk. We came on, I think, at least an hour and a half before the announcement. We interviewed media that were on site. Of course, you were there, many from across the, not just local media, but from Indianapolis and all across the state were there. So we had plenty of great people and voices to talk with. We covered the announcement. Zach McCrite was part of that coverage. He was down on the floor with a wireless mic for some reactions and post decision interviews and things like that. And that wasn't enough. Once the decision and all the post-game stuff was wrapped up, the post-decision stuff, we packed up and went to a place in Jeffersonville, Hoopsters, and had kind of a post-celebration with some fans that were still there, and we had Coach Shannon come by and others. And I think that day we tallied it up, and Doug, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was 9 or so hours, if not more.
It was a lot.
A lot of live radio. Doug would know because he produced all of it. But that was a special day because, boy, we had fun, and it worked out in the favor of people locally, and it just was a great day. That day we were on 1450 and 96.1, obviously. Our online stream was knocked off a few times because of so many people from all over trying to access the broadcast. And we were also on ESPN 680, our friends there, 93.9 The Ville. It was an amazing day and so fun to do it, so fun to cover Romeo. But the most important thing for me was having Lee Kelly right there by me through all that live radio.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, the other thing about him was, you know, if you ever wanted to know anything about New Albany basketball, he was the person to ask because he'd been around so long. He was like an encyclopedia of knowledge. I mean, I can remember going to games as a kid, and I know that's kind of how you got your start, Matt, with keeping stats and stuff, and him being willing to help you out as a young kid. I mean, there's just not enough good things that you can say about him. It's like you said, a tough thing for all of us, and you know, my condolences are definitely out to his wife, Sally, his daughter, Dina, and his grandchildren, because I know that he meant so much to them, and it's something that, you know, it's going to take a while for us to stop being upset, but I think the best thing you can do is just remember all of the positives that he brought to all of our lives, and know that he's, you know, now hopefully in a better place, and is able to not be in pain anymore. So that's to me is the most important thing. And like I said, we'll miss him dearly. And I think the other thing, Matt, that he would want you to do is just keep doing your thing with the show. I mean, you built an awesome thing here with the show, and I know he was thrilled to be a part of it. And I'm sure he would tell you, Matt, just keep on keeping on, and he'll. I know he was going to support all of us in anything we did, and would always be there for any of us to give advice or help us out. And like I said, we'll all miss him dearly.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, kind of a tribute there for Lee Kelly. You've heard lots about Lee this week, and you're going to hear more. Most of you know him. If you don't, you're probably getting to know him. Just an outstanding guy, not just in New Albany, but in Southern Indiana sports as well. Alex, I do want to get your comments on a couple IU basketball-related things before we let you go. Yesterday, IU put out a proposed likely schedule for the fall 2020 semester and for the spring 2021 semester. Big gap there in between, and I think it's probably a wise idea to have students go home, stay home for the not just Thanksgiving break, but the Christmas time break as well, before returning on February 7th. Essentially, students would be done November 20th, and they would restart at least in-person classes on February 7th. And you got to believe that some of those classes, the option is there for it to be in-person or virtual. They might be all virtual if it is a class that allows that sort of setup. What is your thought not only on the academic schedule and that big window between November 20th and February 7th when students would be gone, but also on how that affects and looks like from an athletic standpoint, where if fans and students are allowed to games, you're not going to have much of a student section with basically all of your non-local students home for a extended period of time?
Yeah, it's going to be different, but I think it's going to be different everywhere. So we just have to prepare that it's going to be this way. And it's obviously not an ideal situation, but I'm just excited for the students that, you know, this is even going to be a possibility. I don't think anything's set in stone. Obviously, there's a lot to still figure out. So much has changed in our world in the last 2 months, and it's only May. We're talking about something that's 3 months down the road. So who knows what can change between now and then, but I think it's a positive that not just IU, but a lot of these schools around the country are talking about this, because I think there's a lot of value in the community aspect of being at college. College was not set up really to be something that's a remote situation. I'm not saying that there's not value in online classes. I think there's a lot of people that teach online classes and take them. They get a lot out of it. But really, as you're a young adult and you're making lifelong friends, you're being around people that you're going to know and have an impact on you for a long time, and you just don't get that same experience if you're not there. So I think there's a huge value in that. I want to see it done safely. I obviously want what's best for the world from a health perspective. And so I think there's going to be a lot of caution taken, and I think it's a good decision. And from a sports perspective, I think it's too early to say what it all means. I definitely think it's a good sign that, you know, the NCAA is going to start allowing athletes back on campus next month to do some voluntary workouts. That's definitely something that's a positive, but I just think it's too soon to really say what the full impact. Everyone wants to know, is there going to be a season? Is there not going to be a season? Are there going to be fans? Are there not going to be fans? We just don't know right now, but I think this is obviously a step in the right direction, and quite frankly, I think something that, you know, some people might have told you, you know, a few weeks ago wasn't going to happen. So maybe we're making progress and moving in the right direction. I think people are going to have to continue to be flexible and understanding if things change. It's not an ideal situation, but it's a situation we're in, and so we all have to make the best of it.
Absolutely. Talking with Alex Bozich inside the hall. Alex, thanks for joining me today as we kind of memorialized Lee Kelly, and also for your insight on the academic and how it could affect athletics from that calendar perspective. Appreciate the chat, and we'll do it again next week.
Absolutely, Matt. Have a good day.
All right, Alex Bozich inside the hall, another great student who went on to have a tremendous career. Alex has become a very, very big voice in IU basketball with the Inside the Hall platform, which serves so many people, free IU content around the clock, really, around the full calendar year. All right, Alex with us on Thursdays. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Brandon Hoffman, we're going to talk about what it's been like to not have contact with your team. Of course, it was a tough deal for everyone to swallow that still had a team alive in the regional round when the state tournament was canceled due to the pandemic. But now, basketball coaches, like many other sports, being affected again with out the opportunity to play games and scrimmage and have the off-season work during this June month coming up, when normally it would be a very active and busy month. We have Coach Hoffman of Silver Creek next. We'll also talk a little Trey Kaufman as well for all the IU fans listening. Stay with us for Coach Hoffman. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
I'm Bud Shippey with WXKU Radio in Seymour. I first met Lee Kelly in 1968 when we worked together at WJCD in Seymour. We were just two young guys just getting our feet wet in the radio business and kind of learning on the fly. We spent hours challenging each other with sports trivia, and Lee would dig deep into that memory bag for questions about the Big Train, Walter Johnson, Pee Wee Reese, and others. He never lost that love for sports and was always willing to share his expertise with the rest of us. For 52 years, we had a friendship that I will always cherish. He was engaging, he was courteous, and he had a sense of humor that made him a joy to be around. And he was a friend that was always there to help you at a moment's notice. For those of us that were fortunate enough to have known Lee Kelly as a dear friend, our lives have been blessed by a man we won't forget.
Hi, this is Dugan Ryan, owner and general manager here at the Big X. I first met Lee Kelly after his retirement from WNAS, where he touched so many students and did such a great job with WNAS, making literally one of the most renowned and most legendary high school run radio stations in the country. Such great facilities, and Lee did a lot for WNAS, and they were very fortunate to have him all those years. And during his post-retirement years, Lee worked with us here at the Big X and was the quintessential team player, literally did everything that or anything we needed him to do, from color and broadcast to play-by-play. He was part of some magical runs on the air with New Albany's run to the state championship. He called that with Hall of Famer Greg Bell. And last year, the Silver Creek state championship run, which it was so neat to hear Lee call the game for his alma mater. His post-game interview with Coach Hoffman is one I'll never forget. Lee was just a special man and a good friend, and we're truly going to miss him.
And we are back. Final segment on this Thursday program. We'll continue to have tributes to Lee Kelly through tomorrow and even early next week, with lots of people across not just New Albany, but our Southern Indiana community, with some really good memories and tributes to Lee and all that he was, not just for us here at the Big X, but in New Albany, and of course, a graduate, proud graduate of Silver Creek High School as well. And Joining us now is Brandon Hoffman. He's the head coach at Silver Creek, and we'll get to some Dragon basketball here in just a few moments. I know it's a different time to be a coach, really, of any sport during this pandemic, but Coach, I know, like all of us, we miss Lee, and kind of been a shocking week, really, for all of us.
Yeah, it has, Matt. You know, one of the great things about getting to coach in this area is that you get to meet some really awesome people. And, you know, Lee was my dad's age. He graduated in the, you know, mid-60s from Silver Creek. And, you know, just kind of come full circle in a small world for, you know, 40, you know, whatever, 60 years later to where, you know, Lee was doing our games. And I would look forward so much to getting to talk to you guys on the radio. And just, you know, sad, of course, with the passing of Lee, but really so grateful that I got to know him.
Absolutely. Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek, our guest. Coach, I do want to talk some hoops with you today here in the program. And obviously I've got to ask you about Trey Kaufman. I'll do that in just a moment because of all the IU fans that tune in each day that want to know the latest on his recruitment. But what has it been like in this time to coach, to lead a basketball team? Obviously, we know how odd the end of the season was with the state tournament being canceled the day before the regional round of the tournament. But now that we're into May, late May, headed to June, you really have not had any opportunity to see your team, to work with your team, to have a postseason banquet with your team. And now we're going to miss out, as all teams will, on summer opportunities to get in the gym, to put in that extra work, to play some scrimmage games and find out exactly where the Dragons could be at for next season. It's been an odd time for that as well.
Yeah, you got that right. It's been it's definitely been different than anything we've ever done. But I think we're in a good spot at Silver Creek because we pretty much bring everybody back. So there isn't really a get to know you or trying to put new stuff in or trying to get, you know, inexperienced players some experience. I mean, I think we're kind of in a good spot where we have everybody back. We're just trying to do our best just to kind of stay in touch with our guys. I talk to them once a week at least, some of them more than that, to, you know, if they need anything, if they need me to run a, you know, a stretch band or a weight to them or a heavy ball or whatever, or just to check in, make sure they're doing stuff. Of course, you know, with the guys we have like Trey and Coop, you know, my concern is that they're overworking instead of checking on them, seeing if they're doing anything. So, you know, it's a tough situation, but I think we're in a great spot.
Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek is my guest, talking about what the offseason has looked like and will look like for the Dragons and really all teams across the area. Coach Hoffman, as it stands now, the June stuff, normally it's a very hectic month. You cram a lot into that month. Both coaches do, between practices and workouts and even playing some games as well, to kind of get a measure for where you're at next season, play some different lineups and rotations and maybe younger players as well that haven't had varsity opportunities. With the situation of no games in June, there is the possibility, as things stand now, to maybe do some work in July. If school buildings reopen in July, if you're able to get in the gym, it looks like there's going to be some real, obviously, social distancing requirements on what workouts and activities could look like. But do you plan to get the Dragons together in whatever manner you can based on what the guidelines and rules say in the month of July?
Yeah, we'll definitely get together and do stuff. Like what you said, to what extent, I don't know, what's going to be allowed. I think, you know, we'll get together a couple of days a week and work out, you know, do some skill work, and, you know, if we're allowed to do some games, whatever, we'll do that. But I think the main thing is just wanting to get back with each other, you know, just getting back and spend time with each other and get better. And I think with our guys and our varsity JV and even our middle school, our guys all like being around each other. And I'm looking forward to getting those guys in the gym and just being around them and working on our game. But, you know, it's kind of wait and see what we're going to be allowed to do. Of course, safety is going to be the main concern now, and that's understandable.
Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek joins me. Coach, I've got to bring up Trey Kaufman. You and I, and even Lee, when he was with us on Thursdays, we've had so many conversations about this young man and about your program over some really great years of basketball. And fans in this area specifically very, very focused on what he's doing, what he's up to, and what his recruiting looks like. And we had the chance to have him on a few weeks ago and kind of get an update on where things stood, not just with his recruiting, but how he's been putting in work even during the pandemic shutdown. He seems to be going through this very methodically with his mother and with others like yourself that are important to him in the decision-making process. He doesn't seem to be in a rush. He does seem to be investigating things fully. And if anyone didn't hear the interview, you know, when you talk with Trey, very intelligent sounding kid and obviously very intelligent person as well in the classroom. Any feel for things with his recruiting? Is it going to be something that could be a long and drawn out process? Is it something you could see coming to a conclusion before the start of the season with the 2020-2021 year? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think, you know, this pandemic, you know, played a little bit of a role in that. You know, I think the AU season in the spring was going to be important for him, but, you know, that didn't happen. So I think he's still kind of collecting information. And you nailed it on the head with Trey. I mean, he's a very analytical kid. He's going to not be influenced by someone pressuring him or a timeline or anything like that. Him and Laura are going to be really methodical and sit down and want to make the best decision possible, regardless of what the timeline is. You know, I think when he mentioned when he was on the radio with you and Chris, he mentioned, you know, he'll know when it's right. And I think that's, you know, that's obviously the most important thing. I mean, it's his future. It's his, you know, the next couple, next year or two, however long he's in college. He wants to make the right decision. What's going to be the best fit. So in terms of putting a timeline on it, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I think it's he had mentioned to me he liked to get it done before his senior year, but that was before the pandemic hit. Maybe opportunities will come later. So, but I'm 100% sure that him and Laura will make the best decision, and they're gonna do the due process to find out what the best thing is for them.
Silver Creek coach Brandon Hoffman. Coach, I'll close with this question. I know that the season did not end in the manner you had hoped. A very weird situation. Your team is probably the favorite. The season comes to a screeching halt, as did all of sports with the pandemic situation. When you talk with Trey and Cooper Jacoby and the other returning players and even some of your younger guys that are going to get opportunities this forthcoming season, do you sense that they're a little ticked off about that, that they feel like there's some unfinished business because of the way that the tournament ended? And I'm assuming that will be a big, big motivating factor for especially these guys that you'll have that will be seniors that have been part of some great teams and have already been to the big show and won it one time, that want to get back there in their final opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can't, you know, you're not going to be able to replace the feeling we had last year in 2019 when we won it. And I think those guys, you know, they wanted to get back there and had that feeling again, but, you know, major disappointment, it didn't happen. But like I mentioned earlier, we have pretty much everybody coming back, and we have some really good young players coming back too. So we're almost kind of viewing next season as a continuation of this season. You know, there is a job that had to be done. It wasn't anybody's fault that it wasn't completed, but there's going to be a job, you know, next year to be done. And I can guarantee you that our guys will have laser focus in trying to get that job done, you know, in 2021.
Brandon Hoffman, Silver Creek coach. Coach Hoffman, we'll check in with you again here in the off season. Appreciate always your time, and thanks for also helping with our tributes to Lee Kelly.
Hey, there's you know, it was my pleasure, and thanks to you, Matt, for kind of helping me get to know Lee quite a bit, and I'm praying for you and also his family. So, you know, those guys are in our thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely, Coach. Thank you. Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek. I know the basketball situation now with no June, no summer, things up in the air, very odd, but this Silver Creek program, they're going to carry the flag for Southern Indiana as we move forward. They've got some great talent and a good situation for them coming up as they look to get back and win another state championship. That's going to wrap up this Thursday program. My thanks to you for being with us today. Don't forget, if you missed the live show, we're also available as a podcast on Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud as well. I'll be back on Friday. We'll continue our Lee Kelly tributes, and we'll have some coverage of sports here in Southern Indiana and, of course, from an IU perspective as well. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Hi, my name's Kent Sterling, and I've built a career in radio, both as a program director and host, in large part because of the lessons taught me by Lee Kelly when I was his student at WNAS-FM, part of the New Albany High School curriculum. Lee Kelly was patient. He was tolerant, and if he wasn't patient or tolerant, I wouldn't have become the man I've become, and I wouldn't have any career whatsoever in radio. Lee was great about allowing us to make mistakes, pointing us in the right direction so we didn't make the mistake again, but not killing us for those mistakes. He was a wonderful man, a wonderful husband, a wonderful father, and a terrific teacher, and his legacy that will survive long beyond all of us is one of patience and tolerance and professionalism, and I couldn't be more thankful for being blessed by his presence in my life. Our best to Sally and Dina as they move through this tough time, a tough time for all of us. Anybody who is touched by Lee Kelly at any point during his life is mourning him today.